Lord, thank you so much for bringing us all to here today. I pray that we would just be focused on you. Thank you for choosing the people who are here. And please speak through me, because I don't know where this is going to go, but I just want you to be glorified, and I want people to be able to take away strategies that will help them with the students that they have today. Just so that they can learn more about you, be engaged and involved and on task. In your name I pray.
Amen.
I want to do so many extra things because this today was awesome. I kind of wanted to share what are some of the things you've been learning, because I've been here today learning so many awesome things and strategies. And since I'm last, I'm like, yep, I was going to say that. So some things I can leave out, but I think it's just great that they're all working together. Okay, I'm just going to say that. That's not on the script. I'm just excited to be here today. So our goal today is that we will discuss, so we've been talking, and we are going to plan, probably two, my goal is two, ways to keep students engaged and on task. Let's read it. Ready, go.
We will discuss and plan ways to keep students engaged and on task.
The way, if you haven't guessed it by now, the way that I'm running my lesson today is the same way I run my class. I actually took this is my little lesson planning template for what I do. I'm going to give you one of these. I plan the class today. So you're kind of feeling what it feels like to be in a class. Where you're planning for students to be engaged in the lesson. Involved, engaged, and better yet, and the best part of it is they stay on task. Okay.
Yes.
If you went to one of, I think it was Amber's workshops in the fellowship hall, how she was saying, think about if the reason why the kid is moving around, is it me? Okay, this is one of, if the reason is you, you're planning, this workshop will help you out a lot, because we're getting up, we're jumping, we're moving, I'm making sure that the students are really involved. They don't have time to think about rolling around on the floor, right? They don't have time to think about misbehaving. We're talking, we're playing, we're singing, we're doing something else. This is these pictures that I have up here for you. They're touching something. They're looking, wow, at that paint that the guy just pranked it. If you guys want to see
awesome.
Oh, this is what they're doing. Maybe they're taking a little bit of time to think. Maybe we're singing. Maybe they're talking to each other. Maybe they're eating something. Maybe they're jumping around, okay? So this is what kids want to do, right? And that they're fighting you. And this is what, it's not a bad thing. This is often what we want them to do. But if it's the only thing, you're going to lose them, right? It's not appropriate for them to be doing this the whole time. What I do like about this picture, though, and why I printed it out, is she's reading a story or just lecturing them. There's dragons and there's castles. So there are times in the lesson where it's time for them to sit and be quiet. But you want to be like storyteller, right? You're not just, okay, anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. But yes, so there is a time for this. This is here, too, and this is good, right? But we want to make sure that the students are going back and forth. And when I plan my lessons, as you will see, I make sure that all of these things happen every single time. And just by making sure that all of these things are happening, they don't have time to mess around, right? They're excited, they're up, they're jumping. So that's good. So what we're going to do is we're going to discuss ways to keep students engaged. So just take your hands like this, and you're going to take your hands out, and you're thinking about them being a part of the lesson. So they're engaged or they're involved in the lesson, and then also to keep them on task, which is to keep them straight, right? So when you're planning, you can think, okay, how am I going to keep the students in, like I'm a part of this, and how can I keep them on task? Straight, okay? Also, these things are helping click in their brains, right? Some of them will, the only way they'll catch your lesson is through the movement, because they need to move. Some of them, the only way they'll catch it is from what they hear.
Right.
Okay. Some of them, the only way they catch it is from those big, bright color pictures you put. And so you're doing all of these things because you're looking to hit everybody's diverse learning styles. And then for the kids who are just wild, they got everything, right? So you've hit them all. All right, so my key points for today were, we want to start with a goal. That's number one. Start with a goal for your lesson. A lot of times we have lesson plans that are given to us, and so we think we can just teach it, like just read off of it. That will lead you here, right? And part of the lesson is okay to have that, but you need to sit and just meditate on what is your goal, okay? What do you want the students to be able to do at the end? And in my class, I always have a goal that I write up. At the end, we're gonna discuss, we're gonna plan. I told you two, I didn't put it up here, but two ways that you're gonna keep your students engaged and on task. Number one, they know what you're going to, what you want them to do by the end. They're thinking about it the whole time because you gave it to them. And then also, everything you do and everything you plan is connected to this goal, right? So, and this is gonna be you, separate from whatever the lesson plan has. They'll have things, sometimes it works, usually it doesn't, because you're thinking about how the students are gonna apply it to their lives or what they're gonna take it away from it later. So you might just kind of reword it a little. Just write your own goal, okay? Number two, you want to involve their five senses, okay? Involve their five senses, and we kind of talked about that already. And even here, there's kind of more than five, because there's looking, there's touching, there's thinking, there's feeling, there's tasting. So you can start with the five senses, that's easy. And my lesson plan will help you with that too. And then number three, you want to stick to a routine. Because it might be kind of fun and seems a little bit crazy, at least if you have a routine, there's structure. They know that when they walk in, they're gonna be talking to a partner, then we're gonna sing, then they're gonna eat, then they're gonna, however it is, right? So they know that something's coming next, and if they're a little bit bored, you'll see on my lesson, nothing lasts more than like 10 minutes, ever. 5 minutes. The story, I put a 20-minute chunk there, but there's lots of little things that we're doing in between, three different methods, so they are always moving. We're always moving, changing what we're targeting here. Okay? Let's do a review game. So, let's see. How about, so we don't have anything to review because we didn't talk about that. But how about you share some ways that you keep your students engaged in your class or either on task, just some methods that you have already used or that you've tried before. Anybody? I have thoughts for you. Oh, yeah, yes.
Popcorn.
Yeah. Popcorn. That's
so like,
that's a good one. Okay. Popcorn.
No.
Yes.
So during when we're practicing the verse, I have them. I point to them, and then they pop up like popcorn, and they say one word of the verse, and then somebody else says another word, and it's like popcorn.
So they're like so focused, right? They're engaged in that because they're looking and they're trying to see. Okay. Also, they're standing up. Right? Because I see people play popcorn different ways, but yeah, they're standing up.
They're paying attention because they don't know who's going to be next.
Yes, good. Can I have
two more?
Yes.
I just always, first one there, and I'll give them a hint, but I don't give them too much of a hint because you do want them to know the Bible. And I first one there, of course, I always give out a Bible book or something to all of them when they get there, but first one there gets them wanting to be first. I want to find it.
Yes.
Competition.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. One more. Can we have one more? Some way that you keep them. We're talking mostly engaged. Yeah.
I don't do the whole lesson with it, but sometimes we'll just do a role play. I've done that with Adam and Eve. I've done that with the Good Samaritan. I've done that with several of the lessons. Just a 5-minute little role play right in the middle of the lesson.
So you kind of break things up, right? So you're teaching the lesson and you're doing this, and then all of a sudden they're doing this, right? And then you go back to this a little bit, and then you show this flashing picture. So that's cool. Thank you for that. So in every part of your planning, you want to think about what are the students doing, and you want to plan for that ahead of time. Because if you don't plan for that, most of the time what the students are gonna be doing is sitting, right? They're gonna be sitting, they're gonna be listening. So you've got your lesson plan there, and it tells you all the things to say, and it tells you nothing about what the kids are doing. If you don't think about that, right? Okay, that's what you get. And because they get bored, and even fourth and fifth graders. So right now, I love the dollar store, 99 cent store. It's a weird kind of thing. But I go walk in the dollar store, and I pray. And I'm praying through the aisles. God, show me something I could use in here that I can grab for my students. So these Hershey's, all this stuff I have, I didn't prep anything for this lesson. I just brought my bag of stuff that I already have. I actually have these because we're doing Ten Commandments right now. And I was walking through the store and I was like, look, they look like two little stone tablets, right? So then, you know, I'm walking through and I mean, these are Hershey's. I actually bought these at Walmart. But I went to go get Hershey Kisses because I told them, you know, God's word is sweet. And some things you have in general, like, oh, God's word is sweet. So I'll give you something sweet if you, you know, you're trying to connect to their another sense. But the reason why we're praying when we're in the dollar store is because you want it to connect to God also, right? So I bought such random things, like little Peeps and, you know, Chicks, and I'm like, oh, it's new life, but it cost me $1. I'm not trying to break the bank with these things. But there's a lot of things that if you're thinking, how can you connect what you have to your lesson so that they can now eat it? They can eat your lesson, right? They can sing your lesson, okay? They can look at your lesson. They can touch your lesson. And a lot of those things are at the dollar store. Mm-hmm. Okay, they cost $1 or so. If you guys noticed, the song that we sung was what?
Every Move I Make.
Every Move I Make, I Make in You, right? So again, I'm thinking when I'm picking my song, I'm not just picking a random song, right? When I'm picking my prize, I'm not picking a random one. This chocolate was random for you guys. But I do have these little sticky hands. And I'll be giving these away in a minute. Now, you guys might not like these, but the kids love them. And you can, these cost three or four of them for 99 cents, and they will do anything to get one of these sticky little hands here. Okay? And my kids freak out when I go buy these. I bought these for you today so you could remember that when you use their five senses, it helps it to
stick.
You get it. Okay? You got it. So, I was praying and praying and praying for 3 days. Because, like I said, I didn't buy all these things. I haven't bought anything. But I did. I was like, okay, I gotta get something. The sticky hands will work. So,
did you get those at the dollar store?
Yes,
$99.
They were not at the 99. I had to go to the dollar store. Actually, I sent my husband to the dollar store because they went to the 99. I was like, what? I always see them at the 99. But sometimes they're not there. You know how that place works. So anyway, if you get one of these, you can give these to your students as a random prize. Okay, let's keep moving. Oh, I'm doing okay on time. Okay. So it's time to pass out the lesson plan. So we'll talk through the lesson plan. I have my times on here. Even. Can I have my, who was that, you, Carolyn? Yeah. Again, if you went to one of those workshops, your kids are antsy, you're picking them, right? They're the ones that are passing these things out because they want to get up more than everybody else. And so you're doing that.
You've got a sticky hand.
Thank you, ladies.
Thank you. I accidentally took the sticky hand back.
There you go. Here's a sword for you.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
You're welcome. So I'm going to teach you guys my sword students. Now, students in my class become sword students. These are, like, I'm really lazy, okay? So I don't like to jump around. I actually don't do the song. Sally is my helper in my classroom, and she does the song. She does the jumping around. I just kind of walk around. But I like to plan things because then I have no effort, right? And the kids are going berserk, go wild, and all I did was like, here, hold this, right? I give We'll get to that in the lesson. But I'm giving those to you guys as a little reward. And the kids who get them, they feel really special, right? Those ones make noise. I graduated to those. I started, those also came from the dollar store. I started with swords from the dollar store that were foam. So, and of course, you can only give them to responsible students because they've got to be on task. Because if they touch somebody with it, you take it back right away. And then they learn, and then you never, ever have a problem with it. So anyway, my class was so good with the styrofoam ones that we graduated to the ones that make noise. And they can, but not when I'm talking. So anyway, okay. Let's run through the lesson plan, and at this point, if you have questions, you can feel free, because there's a lot of stuff in here, but I'm just going to try to focus on the main points of how I'm planning, okay? So, let's start at the beginning. So, I have all those things on there. This is what I do when I walk in. Check in. So, Bible Bus Ready was the title of this workshop. I have a sign posted on my door. I want my students to be ready when they come in the door because there's a transition from wherever they're coming. They're all coming from different places, different classrooms. They're antsy, they're hot, they're tired. We always have water for them when they first walk in just so they can get a drink of water. I tell them, you know, go to the bathroom before you get here. All those regular classroom management stuff. This is stuff to keep them on task. Okay, now we're going to the... This was the fun stuff, the engaging stuff. Now we're on task with my plan, okay? So I have a routine. Verses ready, name tag, bookmarks, Bible bucks. Yeah. It's there for me all the time, so I remember. I put it on a chart for the kids. It's outside of my room most of the time. That routine helps the kids when they walk in my door. They know what they're going to do, right? They better have their verse ready to say to me. Okay, they know I'm going to ask them. The first couple of weeks, they're like, I don't know my verse. And I'm like, do you know your verse? The one door, where's your verse? Are you ready? Why are you here? You're not even ready, right? And then after 2, 3, 4 weeks, they're coming to the door, and the second they get there, they're like, I'm ready, right? So that's awesome. They are on task because they know what's coming because I do the same thing every time. It's on the sign, okay? Are your verses ready? Do you have your name tag on? Because we just need them to have their name tag on, and that helps me, right? Okay. There's a routine, so fine. I put it on there, they do it. Do you have your bookmark out? The bookmark is where they have their verses written, and then I will give them Bible bucks, like Gail was saying. Some kind of a reward, something, you know, they're collecting points, or they're collecting something. I have a chart where I'm charting how many verses they said, whatever, so they can see. So any kind of check-in routine, I'm telling you mine, but you have in the back of your mind yours, right? You know the things that you need them to do, the things that drive you crazy when they come in. They don't know what to do. They're just crawling on the floor and throwing their backpacks everywhere. I have everything in my plan, right, so that we are on task. Number two, partner practice. They put their backpacks away and they practice the Bible. I have a sign that says, sit knee to knee with your partner. Sit there and practice your Bible verses. Today we just did some random thing. I gave you some random thing. What are some things you like to do? So you start thinking about, I like to sing, I like to move, I like to, nobody probably said, I like to sit and listen to somebody talk for 40 minutes, right? the point of that whole thing, that's why I kept saying yes, yes, do whatever you want. The point was just to say, probably nobody said, I want to sit and be still for 40 minutes. That is not your favorite thing to do, okay? Right. Everything else is anything but that. So they come in and they get to talk. That's so important. Because they want to talk. And if they're talking with a partner, I can be circling around. I can be helping them with their verse. I can be talking to somebody else. And it just feels so casual. And so, you know, but I put 10 minutes in my schedule for them to just kind of trickle in. And but everyone is doing what I want them to do. They're talking to a partner. They've got their bookmarks out, which has their Bible verse. So they're reviewing their Bible verses. That's what partner practice is. And if I see somebody who doesn't, like when you guys were doing that, I saw right away, there's somebody here just kind of sitting. And so to me, that's like, hey, what do you need? Do you need a bookmark? Do you need a partner? Do you need this? And they're engaged. And they're also on task, which is wonderful. After that, startup, we have a microphone in our room. Not everyone does. the easiest way to get them to start is just put the music on. Because as soon as the music comes on, stop talking. You don't have to say, please stop. Everybody look at me. Like all that. Just put the music on. They know they're done. Why? Because it's a routine. Also because music is cool. And they're like, oh, look. First we were talking, wherever talking is. Where's my talking? First we were talking. Now we are singing. Okay. So we're at 2:40. We've got the song. Always go over the rules, and then I pray. I go over the rules first to remind them every single time. We use the UPS rules like somebody else did over there. Whatever rules work for you. But as long as you're doing them every time, because kids forget, right? So some people say, oh, the kids know the rules, blah, blah, blah. Don't assume. Take 30 seconds. Go over the rules every single time. What do? Look up, sit up, listen up. And do you know what they do every single week? Look up, sit up, listen up, yeah. Zip up.
Yeah.
And then you start your class with little soldiers, right? They love it.
Yeah.
It's just going over the rules, but they know that it's coming, and it keeps them on task. And I didn't have to do anything because it's already here. It's blank. All the things that we're talking about have nothing to do with the lesson, but I've already given myself a template so that I don't have to. Most of my kids are not rolling off task, right? We learn management strategies today there's always somebody. But anyway, this works for a lot of majority of the students. Note to self, take attendance because I always forget. And then we're at 2:45 now. That's when I start with my goal. I give the students the lesson aim right from the jump, okay? Sometimes I'll talk to them about how did that song connect to this, now that they know what the goal is. And then you'll see in yellow, sign and picture. I always have some sort of sign, something physical they can do. So now they're moving, okay? And I plan this beforehand. I'm reading the lesson plan. The lesson plan doesn't tell you what to do with the kids. It just tells you what to teach them. What can I do so that they can move? Okay, what picture can I bring in at this point when I'm talking to them about what we're going to do that will help them to get it? Okay, so I think I may have said this somewhere in my bio or something. Please don't rely on those lesson plans that they give you, right? They're there and all the content is there, but you've got to think and you've got to plan and you've got to get prepped and ready. I gotta ask you guys something because I'm speaking to adults, so I'm not quite as, anyway, let's give away some sticky hands here. What else? The new verse. What did I want to do for you guys? Oh, the new verse is the new material. So we just go over the new material, and the class, it says class stand, read, and sign. You see how I'm like, okay, they gotta stand up, they gotta read it, they gotta sign it. And then.
You mean sign language?
Sign, so yes.
Kids like to sign.
I do mean sign language. Many times when I'm planning my lesson and I've done this, I'm Googling ASL sign Jesus, ASL sign resurrection, ASL sign whatever, and it helps. Sometimes I just use something that makes sense to me. Or like in this case, when I'm saying we're gonna keep them engaged, we're gonna keep them on task. The back and forth helps me. So you can use whatever you want as long as it's something that that allows them to move. But ASL works a lot because ASL uses the meaning of the word to give the sign, and that helps it to get inside. It helps it to stick, and I heard you say stick, so I'm gonna give you one of these. And you said ASL, so I'm gonna go ahead and yes. Thank you. All right, the sticky hand. And we got 10 minutes, and we're good.
You don't get to keep the sword.
You don't get to keep the sword. I take it back. So, did we get to the sword students?
Yes, ma'am.
Did we pass the sword students?
You said,
yeah. Oh, no. We connect and we do review questions, and I always have a game and a prize. And so, actually, yeah. I was like, oh, I feel like I need to stop and give you guys a prize. And then that's exactly where we are in the lesson, right? I'm doing the same thing with you, right? So this is a point where kids start to get bored because you've talked a little bit. You've given them their lesson goal. You've done something like that. And so you need to break it up. So I just did that. I broke that up. Now we're at the sword students. So the sword students are the two people who have in my class that came from the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, right? So the two students who come to me, they're here first, they said their verses, they get a sword, right? And so I know that they're responsible. I know that they have God's word in their heart, so they're not going to sin against me by hitting anybody with it, messing with it. They're called the sword students for that reason. They have God's word in their hearts, and all of the other verses about the swords. Usually we teach this lesson early on in the year, and when I teach that lesson about God's word being living and powerful, which is usually the second lesson, because we start with why are we here? We want to learn God's word. We're hiding it in our heart. So lesson two, I teach them, God's word is living and powerful and sharp as a sword. If you've got it in your heart, you'll get a sword from me. And they're like, yay! Which is cool. So they're running to the bus and they're trying to say their verses and they're, I want to get the sword and I only have two of them. So they really have to be on task. I also have a rule that it can't be the same two people every week. So then people have hope. Maybe this week it'll be me. And they're running. Can I be the sword student? Can you say your verse? Are you ready? Yes, I'm ready. So they're super excited to be there, and I don't have to do anything except put the sword in my bag and then hand it to them when they say their verse. So that's cool. That's what they're... And I said, sometimes at this point I have my two sword students come up. I have them say the verse because they know it, and the other kids want them to prove it because they're like, she doesn't really know the verse. Okay, go ahead. Get up there and say the verse. And then I also have them explain it in their own words. So you can't explain what it means in your old words, and you know that there could be a sword student. So also it helps them to get deeper thinking into the word. So those are my sword students. The kids love it. It's planned into the lesson. They know it's coming. They're excited to be there. Okay, so 2:55 comes, and I'm finally getting to my lesson. And so I just read. Now, you see it says read lesson intro. Whatever the lesson is, there's always, they give you an introduction, they give you this and that, just read it. Like, it doesn't matter. Okay? Yeah. So you just read it there, and I put there next to it, though, actually have a picture. Plan your picture. What picture are you going to have when you're reading the introduction? Oh, Jesus is it. We're having a cross. Okay, I'm going to have a cross up there. Next one, I pause for the Bible pass. We pass our Bibles out, and we usually read a verse or something that connects with it. And then I put storytelling, not lecturing, but that's the place where I'm doing this, right? That's where they are looking at the story. And I have planned at one point, sometimes I have two or three things. What pictures am I using? Sometimes you use the flash of cards or whatever. Sometimes you print things offline. What movement am I going to have? Every time I say the word engage, you're going to do this, right? I haven't been doing that with you guys as much. But every time I say, on task, you're going to, or engage was this way. Yeah. On task is this way, right? And so I'm going through and I'm telling them the story, and then I say something, and all of a sudden they like do the motion. I'm like, wait, what are you guys? Oh, yeah, I told you to do this. Right?
Samson, yay, right. Christy, boo.
Exactly. So every time I say Samson, you say yay, and then all of a sudden they're like, yay! And they're waiting for it. And you're telling the story like, okay, whatever it is. And then realia there. I don't know why I put that. It's because I was using all of my teacher training things. Realia means is something that they're going to touch. Something they're going to touch. You're bringing something. This is where the dollar store comes in again. Or you're whatever. You go somewhere and you see something in your house. You're looking around like, oh, I have an apple. you're going to pass that apple, just pass it out, okay? Today, actually, when I was writing this, I was like, I'm just going to pass out my papers to them today. I'm going to pass out my last. Isn't it my time? No, I haven't done it. Okay. Anyway, you have something for them to touch, and the touch thing obviously is going to relate to the lesson. For me, that's where the sticky hands came in. So you guys can take these right now. You can just touch it. If you want one, you can keep yours. If not, you can touch it and pass it around. Again, we're talking about just having things stick in their mind. It sticks because we're speaking to the whole child. We're speaking to their body. We're speaking to their mind when we do this, usually. I mean, we're not speaking. We're teaching to their body because we're having them move around. We're teaching to their mind and also to their spirit because they get a chance to, they're rewarded. I'm throwing candy or, you know, here I have apples, right? We give them water. Like, we're doing things to make sure that they feel appreciated. We're honoring the students that are doing the right thing. So their spirit is lifted. Half of you were smiling, half of you were huffing and puffing, but at least more than half of you were smiling as soon as the song came on, right? Your spirit is lifted when you come in here. At first it's like, oh, they're kind of late, and we're getting it, and whatever is you're bringing from outside is coming in here, right? But we're trying to speak to their bodies, or teach to their bodies, we're teaching to their minds, and we're also teaching to their spirits. We're planning for these things to happen every single time in our class. See how excited they're. Ooh, it's so sticky. You want to stick. Look how happy you are, right? It cost me a dollar. It's worth it. And then sometimes you buy these things and you have them left over. So you all have all kinds of junk, right? And you're just like, let me go in my bag and I throw something. I got these little wordless book bracelets. I've got some Starbursts. I gave those out for Christmas because it was like, something, I don't even remember. Something about the star. Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
That's something. Anyway, I'm just walking through and I'm like, Starburst, that's the star. We're talking about the star. You know what I mean? But it helps them to remember because they're like, I'm going to give that Starburst and I'm like, whatever.
Yeah.
So, and then Ten Commandments, too, they memorized it in two parts. So it's like, when you memorize the first four, you get one. But when you memorize, you get two stones just like Moses had. You have to do all Ten Commandments for that. And they're like, ah, okay, I want to memorize the Ten Commandments. So, yeah, we're done. So now we're at the part of turn and talk. And I'm going to have you guys turn and talk, too. And by the way, so sometimes I tell them what I have for them at the end. Sometimes I don't. For you guys, I have my favorite teaching supply, which is poster putty. This is because we have mobile classrooms or pop up anywhere, you know, and it's like you need to stick things there. This is really cool. But also because I love poster putty so much, and we're talking about making things stick, I got you poster putty. Okay. So I got two of these, which I'm going to give out at some point at the end. So these you can win. You too can have one of these posters. These were not at the dollar store, by the way. These were like $2. So it's like $2.30. You gotta buy these at Staples. So anyway, so these are fancy, but that's for you guys. Okay, so we are going to turn and talk because I want to give you guys a chance to talk. Some of you woke up. I saw, and I'm always watching too. Some of you woke up when we passed out the sticky hands. I mean, woke up. You know, now that I said talk, I'm like, Tom, okay. Because we haven't talked.
I want to mention something about your posters. You have to shop around at the dollar stores, the 99-cent stores. Those might be a dollar at other 99-cent stores.
Yeah. These?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Shop around.
You know what? I haven't bought them. Okay, so apparently mine is blue.
Yeah, mine's
apparently they don't make blue anymore. But I have so much of it, I only went to the store today because I was like, where am I? I mean, yesterday. Where do I get these? I have like stacks and stacks of these.
Yeah, usually after school, after they go back to school, the dollar stores have that stuff because the extra stuff goes.
Okay, well, stock up on it. Like I said, I couldn't help you because I have blue putty to last me until eternity. But if you need to get some, well, these were $2.
They
work really well. Duck. Let's not get distracted. Turn and talk. I'm having you turn and talk. Again, what are some things Oh.
Swords.
Okay, I maybe didn't say this at the beginning, but I'll say it in a minute. So turn and talk. What are some things that you heard today that you think you could use in your classroom? Find a partner. You have a minute. Go ahead and talk. Some things you found, you learned today, or that you can use in your day. Is because I can walk around, I can listen to what they're saying, I can see if they're getting my lesson. At the beginning, I said my three steps were to set. I said, what did I say?
Start with a goal.
Start with a goal. Okay, what I should have said, or also could have said, was to set and to check goals. So I start with my goal, but I also start with this turn and talk. I start with the goal and the turn and talk question. Okay, those are the things that I plan first. What do I want my students to do? And what am I going to have them talk about at the end? Guess what? It's always the same thing. All right, I want them, we're going to discuss and we're going to plan ways to keep students engaged. At the end, I'm going to ask them to talk about what are some ways you can keep your students engaged or and on task. That's what they're going to be talking about. So you're planning, you start with your goal at the beginning, and also you plan to, at the end, make sure that they are able to talk about that and process it. If I'm walking around and I'm hearing them say something that's off, I may come back and address it. Usually, 9 times out of 10, because we've done it so many ways, we've said it so many ways, they're talking about the right thing. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Okay. And then the last thing I do, so it says the turn and talk 30-second goal check, and I usually let my SWORD students pass out the exit ticket and the pencils. You guys have pencils, I passed out a little exit ticket. Here it is, 1 minute reflection. Your reflection is, how can we blank this week? All that means is try to get them to apply the lesson. This is not in your lesson plan, right? But it's like the most important thing. You have to have your goal at the beginning. You're gonna give students a chance to process that and talk about it. And then you want them to think about, well, what am I gonna do with this week, right? Sometimes it takes a long time to figure that out. Like when we were doing the Ten Commandments, I was like, what do I want them to do after they leave my room? When my goal today was just to have them say the Ten Commandments, right? I don't actually want them to be walking around trying to keep all the Ten Commandments, right? So I had to think a lot about what it was I was going to ask them. And for that one, I wanted them to think about the fact that they were lawbreakers and that they needed Jesus to help them. So I wrote that we were going to say the Ten Commandments, but my key points were, everyone has broken the law. We're all lawbreakers. And then at the end, my question was, turn and talk to your partner. What do you need Jesus to help you with this week? Right? And now you're going to write, like they're going to write, what are two ways that you... Name two things that you will do, that you will try, to keep your students involved and on task during your lesson. Read it again. Please write two things that you will try to keep your students involved or on task during your lesson. So go ahead and take 1 minute. 1 minute. Take 1 minute to do that. Write that.
True, we have discussion. We're coming out of here to keep students engaged.
And when I say try, I'm saying this because obviously you guys are all doing some things, but anything new that you can try to put into your lesson. Two things.
I'm afraid my ride's going to leave me.
Oh. You can go. How are you doing? Okay, I'm going to start talking because we are a little bit over time, even though we start late. I didn't take too long, but we start late. You always want to collect these cards. I always collect these cards. Because one, again, it's a way for you to check to see if your students got what it was that you were trying to get to give them. If not, you can go back next week and you can address it. Right? Mm-hmm. Also, it's good for them because they leave with the thought of, here's how I'm going to take the Bible out into the world with me, right? Because you started with your goal in mind. You ended by letting them talk about how they're going to do it. You have them write down, what am I going to do this week to apply this lesson to our life? That's the whole point of everything. Sometimes the lesson plans have that. Many times they don't. Okay? So you always want to have those things in there, and when you use a template, it's always class in there. It's always in there. And then the last thing is that they trade you their exit ticket for a snack, right? Why? Because the cookie makes them happy, and they come back the next week because they know they're always going to get a snack. The snack is not just because they're hungry. They might not even be hungry. It's just so we can hit them with something else. If you're awesome, you'll connect your snack to your lesson, right? If you...
Like the chocolate chip cookie is the stone in front of the tomb. They rolled away.
If you can do it, do it, right? If you can't, at least you're just hitting something else and they're excited because they know a snack is coming. But either way, it's good. All right, let's... some of you guys can keep writing. I'm going to stand at the door and take your exit tickets, but let's pray on our way out of here. If you're leaving, go ahead and leave it. I'll pray. Okay, I'm going to pray. Dear God, thank you for getting us through this day and for all the awesome and wonderful things that we've learned today. Please help us to apply them in our classroom. Some of these things are just awesome, and we're going to hear them and just let them kind of go and say, oh, that was nice. But I just pray that we would take one or two things home from us with us from the whole day and just try them in our classrooms and see how much greater our students will do, how much better things will be for us, and that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.